Ya ginang gina shilakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmaya sigurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadantisva vadantikam jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasari gaur bhaktivrindam hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama Om Mam Hum Srom Om Farum Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalat Padakalochana Padaraka Nakashparsa Devasingha Namaste Ugun Viram Havishnu Dalantam Sharvato Mukam Nisingam Vishnam Bhadram Mitto Mitto Namami Hom. So once again, I'm very happy to be here at the house of Jayadeva Prabhu and his good family. I can't remember the last time I was here. Must have been about 3 years ago. So it's always nice to come back and associate with the devotees, especially such stalwart devotees as Jayadeva Prabhu and his family, and of course the members of this Namahata cell group, as we call them. Yesterday was the very, very auspicious disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And it being a codicy, we fasted until noon, but the feast for His Divine Grace is today, according to our Vaishnav calendar. So this is also the continuation of a very auspicious day. It is in itself an auspicious day, because we are honoring the feast of His Divine Grace, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Of course, we know that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj is the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the intimate Shiksha student of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. I was reflecting yesterday and today that it was no coincidence that he disappeared or gave up his manifest pastimes and enters into his Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes with the Lord, on a codicy. Because a codicy is a day which we know is a day of austerity and devotion. Very powerful combination, actually. As transcendentalists, we are obliged to perform austerity, which means detachment from sense gratification. And being Vaishnavas, we want to awaken our deepest love for Shishi, Radha, and Krishna. So this is a very powerful combination, austerity and devotion. This is actually the essence of Ekadasi. We detach ourselves from our normal basic activities, we cut down our eating, our sleeping, many other activities, so we have more time to devote to hearing the pastimes of Lord Govinda. This is our austerity, to develop our devotion. Powerful combination. Just like in the material world, there are also powerful combinations which produce very powerful mundane effects, like nitrogen and glycerin. These are two chemicals. Alone, they're something, but combined, they're a dynamic team, nitrogen and glycerin, because you put them together, you get a very big explosion. So austerity is something very significant. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who are not austere, neither devoted, cannot attain me. And certainly devotion is the essence of everything. So you put them together, austerity and devotion, and a very wonderful thing happens. You become Krishna conscious. So that is a codicy. A codicy is a day for focusing our mind on Lord Krishna. So it is not a coincidence that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he gave up his body on a codicy, because he himself is the embodiment of renunciation and devotion. This is how we glorify him in our prayers to the Vaishnavas. Each Vaishnava is a great devotee of Krishna, but each of our acharyas has a particular something particular which he offers the disciplic succession, or he offers the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we know him as the great pioneer of Krishna consciousness. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he departed from this world with the Panchatattva and the other members of his eternally liberated Sankirtan party, gradually, the Krishna conscious movement, as he started it, was declining. It was practically lost, even in Bengal, 500 years ago. But he appeared, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was the pioneer of rejuvenating or revitalizing the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he spread that Sankirtan movement over India. And of course, our own Srila Prabhupada, he took that Sankirtan movement and spread it all over the world. What then was the contribution of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj? His contribution was he was the personification of renunciation and devotion. We have a saying, example is higher than precept. So we have the precept of renunciation and devotion, but he personified both those qualities. In our prayer to him, we prayed, Namo Gaurakishora Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasam Budhe Param Bhujaya Te Namaha. That we offer our respectful obeisances unto Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is renunciation personified. He is always merged in Vipralamba, or a feeling of separation and intense love of Krishna. So being the personification of renunciation, austerity, and devotion, it is not surprising that he passed away on Ekadasi, the same day. It was very much in his mood, the day of renunciation, the day of pure devotion. Teaching us as devotees the importance of two of these transcendental qualities. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was, as his name says, a Babaji. There are different types of renunciation. There's sannyas. One accepts sannyas, he renounces this world for the purpose of preaching. And there's the Babaji, who renounces this world for his own development of Krishna consciousness. Traditionally, the Babajis, they go to some holy place like Vrindavan or Navadvip, and there they spend their days immersed in meditation on the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he was Babaji. Actually, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he was a householder for about 29 years. He married when he was quite young, and by profession, he dealt in grains. He was a grain broker. He had a little shop, and he and his wife used to sell grains like this. He was a very dutiful householder. He was known to be very honest, very clean. He had a very good reputation. But one day his wife died, and he performed the cremation ceremony, etc. And then he went to Vrindavan. And he spent 15 or 20 years in Vrindavan as a renunciate, as a Babaji. He was extremely renounced. It's described that for his foodstuffs, he would beg door to door. Whatever he got, that is madhukari, whatever he got, he would cook those substances, grains or vegetables or whatever. For his cooking pots, he would wander the banks of the Ganges or the Jamuna River. And whatever pots people had discarded, he would pick them up and use those. It is said sometimes he would eat out of a human skull. Sounds very quite astonishing to us, but this is how renounced he was. He had no attachments to this world. He was very detached. For his clothes, whatever old clothes people had discarded on the bank of the rivers, he would pick those clothes up and he would utilize them. His only possessions were a loincloth. He had kunti mala and a pair of japa beads. And he had one old tiger's skin cap, which he'd received from one sadhu, one Kamandelu pot. So when people saw Gorkhasurdas Babaji Maharaj, they thought of the renunciation of Srila Raghunath Das Thakur, one of the six Goswamis. He was also very, very renounced, living on the banks of Radhakund in the last years of his life, writing various devotional scriptures. So sometimes devotees wonder that although our Krishna conscious movement is a missionary movement, how is it that one of our most prominent spiritual masters didn't apparently preach? In fact, if you look at the disciplic succession, he's just, depending how you look at it, 1, 2, 3, 4 away, 3 away from His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj there. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Gorkhasurdas Babaji. Now, between Gorkhasurdas Babaji's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, two of the great stalwart preachers of Krishna consciousness. So someone may wonder, if this is a missionary movement, how is it that Gorkhasurdas Babaji apparently didn't preach? Well, he was teaching us that in order to become a preacher, one has to be renounced in this world. He was teaching us the importance of renunciation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, one of his favorite stories was the wedding party, where the wedding party just finished the wedding and they all went together, the husband and the new wife and the fathers from both families, the mothers, the different little children, whoever was there, to cross over the river to their home, and they got into the boat. It was sometime late afternoon, and they told the boatman, row us across the river. So the boatman, dutiful, he took the oars, and he started rowing like this. And you know how devotees are. As soon as they have an opportunity, they're in a vehicle, or sometimes even in class, shoo, they're off asleep. So with the motion of the oars like this, they're going, 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 and then everyone fell asleep. And they were very tired because it was a big wedding. And they woke up the next morning and looked around. To their amazement, they were in the same place. They hadn't moved an inch. So they questioned the boatman, "What is this, Mr. Boatman? We're still in the same place. You're rowing and rowing." He goes, "What?" And one of the passengers noticed, "You fool, don't you see you haven't pulled up the anchor? So we're not going anywhere. You have to pull the anchor up, put it in the boat, and then we can proceed." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to tell this story to show how if we actually want to advance in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, we have to pull up the anchor of what? Sense gratification, material desires. One time Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness and sense gratification, they go ill together. They're not a good team. Just like when you're trying to marry two persons, you try to find out if they're somewhat compatible, if the man and the woman have similar characteristics, similar likes or dislikes, and similar natures, so they're compatible. And if they're not compatible, the marriage may not work. It probably won't work. So this marriage, sense gratification and the pursuit of Krishna consciousness, it's destined to divorce. It won't work. One can't be successful in Krishna consciousness as long as one maintains material attachments. Of course, we come with material attachments. That's understood. No one comes a pure devotee. But in the 10 offenses to the holy name, it's stated that to maintain material attachments, even after hearing so many instructions on the matter, one develops an offensive mentality in Krishna consciousness and cannot advance. So this principle of gradually giving up our material desires, giving up our sense gratification, at least regulating it and purifying it and coming to a higher stage of devotional service. It is one of the foundations of devotional service. And that is why when we take initiation, we promise our spiritual master to refrain from the four basic activities which are the epitome of sense gratification in this world. The four anchors, just like in some big boats, there's not just one anchor, but on battleships there's 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6 anchors, different parts of the boats. So we promise no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling like this. And from there, we become civilized, and we can begin to proceed on the transcendental path. So, renunciation is so important. Actually, to be a preacher, you have to be renounced from this world, or your preaching won't be effective. Therefore, we find he's in between these two great acharyas, exemplifying the mood of renunciation. If we want to preach like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we want to preach like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarath, preach like Sridhar Prabhupada, preach like Sivaram Swami, then we have to practice renunciation. Otherwise, our preaching will not be effective. You can imagine if you go out, and this is a missionary movement, everyone, the sannyasis, the householders, the namahatis, everyone is meant to share this priceless gift of Krishna consciousness with others. So if we go out and we say, well, you know, I mean, this material world, it's really a miserable place, I think. And I'm not really sure, but they've told me that you can't enjoy here, although, right? So do you accept? Well, you're not going to convince anybody with that argument. Just like on the television, when they want to advertise some product, some shaving cream, they pick someone who has understood the value of that shaving cream. He goes up and says, this shaving cream gives a good shave. Buy it. Right? If he came on and said, well, I mean, I know they'll give me some money to say it, but pretty good. No one will buy that shaving cream. So when a preacher goes out and says, Abrahma bhuvanaloka punar arvito arjuna mamupete te kontiya punar janmani vidyate. When he repeats Krishna's wisdom, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all their places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place, please reflect on this and accept the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. Get out of this dukkalayam ashashvatam, this miserable place, temporary miserable place, and go back to the spiritual world where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. When one hears this from a realized soul, it has a very powerful effect. Just like Sridhar Prabhupada said, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, is best heard from the lips of a pure devotee. Of course, we benefit hearing Hare Krishna in any way because the name is absolute. But when we hear the chanting from Sridhar Prabhupada, great devotees, that chanting has a very, very so powerful, we saw that Prabhupada was able to attract all the most fallen souls, the hippies of America. When Prabhupada went to the West, what was his audience? Well, you look at that little movie, I forget what it's called now, it shows the activities at 26 Second Avenue, and you just look at the nature of the people inside that that film. Very amazing personalities, just off the street a few weeks before. Because Prabhupada was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And he was preaching, there was a miracle transformation taking place. The spiritual master has to convince the disciples, or the audience, of two things. The illusion of material life and the reality of the spiritual world. Because right now, everyone thinks that this is the real world and the spiritual world is some phantasmagoria, some illusion. This is real here. God? The kingdom of God, the spiritual world, that's for sentimental old ladies or people who need a crutch, something to lean on. Weak-hearted people. I don't need God. Oh, man, I got money, I got power, I got car, I need God. This is the real world. And what you're talking about, if there's some God, show me God. So give me one evidence. One. This is the way most people think today. That the material world is real and the spiritual world is an illusion. Just like I was driving through London today. At the time, generally, when people are going to church, because in Poland, the situation is a little different. People are extremely pious there. And around 12 or 1 o'clock, the streets are empty. Where is everybody? They're all in the churches. Poland is building more churches than any other country of the world, even now. But when we were driving through London, what did we see? Everyone was in the supermarket. The churches were empty. And since I've been here the last couple of years, because I haven't really traveled, I just come to Heathrow and fly out some other place, as my disciples know. But I haven't really been here, and I saw that, you know, the churches were empty. They were closed. They were locked, big padlock on the door of the churches, and the parking lots were full. I thought, this is Sankirtan devotee's dream Sunday. I'd never seen all these big parking lots, these big supermarkets. They weren't here before. These big, big supermarkets. So where people have lost their interest. This is the real world, and that's the illusion. So a devotee in Krishna consciousness, he has to convince the people that this is the temporary world. This is the illusion. Illusion in the sense not that it's not here, but it's temporary and it's full of suffering. But there does exist a world which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And a realized preacher can convey that to his audience and convince his audience simply by Shabda Brahma, by transcendental sound. But it's not enough simply to do parrot-like preaching, just repeat, repeat. There has to be some realization there. But if we ourselves are entangled in material life, then how we can convince anyone? So renunciation is absolutely necessary. And that, Gokushodas Babaji is teaching us. He was renunciation personified. So that one can advance in devotional service, and if one is a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, meant to share our realizations with others, his preaching will be effective. Prabhupada several times told a story. There was once a little boy, and he was eating too much sugar, so his teeth were getting affected. Too much sugar. So a mother took him to the doctor, and she said, "Look, my son is eating too much sugar. So many problems. So just please, doctor, you're a medical practitioner. You tell him to stop eating sugar." So the doctor looked at the boy and he said, "All right, come back next week." And the woman said, "Wait a minute, come on, it's a simple thing. I'm paying you $50, 50 pounds, whatever it is, 100 pounds. Tell my kid not to eat sugar, his teeth are falling out." So the doctor said, no, I'll tell him next week. So this is ridiculous. She pulled his arm and they walked out of the office in a big huff and a puff. And she waited 1 week. She came back, another 50 pounds. "Now will you tell him not to eat sugar?" "Okay. My dear boy, please don't eat too much sugar, because by eating too much sugar, your teeth are being affected. It's not good too much sugar. You understand?" "Yes, doctor. I understand. I will do my best to cut down my intake of candy bars." So the mother was amazed. "Well, thank you. But why couldn't you tell him last week?" So the doctor said, "Well, last week I was eating too much sugar. So if I had to have tried to convince him not to eat too much sugar, it wouldn't have been effective. So last week I fasted from sugar, and now my instruction has some potency." So this is Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. Of course, he was renunciation personified, and he was also Vipralamba Seva. He was devotion personified to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So we cannot imitate such great souls. But, and not that we expected to imitate such personalities, but we can follow in their footsteps and we can imbibe the principle, just as Prabhupada has asked us. These four basic rules and regulations: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. We can refrain from that. And vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, upashna vegam. If we can control our mind, control our senses. Not that we stop sense gratification altogether and live with one loincloth, a set of neck beads and japa beads like him. We're not at that stage of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada has very kindly taught us how to control the senses. How is that? We engage them in the devotional service of the Lord. He compared it to a snake who has very poisonous fangs. He's biting. Ah, very poisonous effect. But you simply remove the fangs, then when he bites, he's still biting, but there's no poisonous effect. So when we control our senses by not engaging them in mundane sense gratification, but we engage those same senses in the devotional service of the Lord, the poisonous effect is gone. We don't stop our senses, but we engage them in the service of Krishna. We want to see something beautiful, so we go to the manor, and we behold the most exquisitely beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Or if you're in downtown London, you're tired of seeing all the billboards and the city shops and all the sense gratification, you take a few minutes, you go to Tottenham Court Road, what do they call it here, underground? Underground. And you walk a few meters and you go to the temple and you see one of Śrīla Prabhupāda's most favorite deities, Śrī Śrī Radha Lalitāneśvara. Beautiful Govardhan Śrīla, Jagannath, Subhadra, Lord Baladev. Instead of hearing something mundane which pollutes our consciousness, we are driving in the car, we put on the tape, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You want to smell something nice? Then you smell these wonderful flower garlands. In Russia, the flowers, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada said the only opulence left in Kali Yuga is flowers. Only opulence left in abundance. But now Kali Yuga is 5,000 years down the road, so even the flowers are affected by Kali Yuga, that they don't have any scent. They smell wet. So what they do in ISKCON, Russia, is that they dip the flowers in perfume. So you've got a carnation that smells like a rose. Or you've got one of these little white ones that smells like a jasmine flower. Anyway. And the tongue wants to taste something? Well, if you're very fortunate, you may go to the manor and you may satisfy the tongue unlimitedly by Mataji's Mongol sweets. These Mongol sweets are more rare than the ambrosia of the heavenly planets. The somaras. The somaras is a very special liquid. It is a liquor. It is intoxicating. But by drinking it, one becomes younger. Nowadays, when you drink the liquor, then it deteriorates the body. The liver, you get the cirrhosis of the liver, and the brain gets holes like this, and the drugs they're taking. But somaras and the heavenly planets, one benediction the demigods have due to their past pious activities is they get to live a long time, millions of years by our calculation, actually. They do it by drinking every day little somaras, very sweet taste, and you stay young. You know, if you're getting 26, 27, take a big 1 liter, 16. But be careful not to take too much or you'll end up 4 years old. But it's very much sought after. The somaras, or things like the parijat flower. Satyabhama, she wanted one of these parijata flowers from the heavenly planet. So Krishna went, the whole pastime. But it's so rare, Krishna had to go there to get it and bring it back. So I have heard that the demigods on the heavenly planets are lining up invisibly outside the door to the Pujari room at Bhaktivedanta Manor to eat these Mongol sweets. Sometimes they're even going in at night and stealing them. And today I felt supremely blessed when I had the prasad. I didn't eat too much because that was the instruction. There'll be a big feast in honor of Gorkhashodas Babaji. But I could not resist the Mongol sweets. And I was actually on a Khichdi fast for about 6 weeks. But when I saw the Mongol sweets, I broke all the vows at one time. And I just And that's why we're a little late, because after we ate all the Mongol sleeves, we collapsed. And then we became completely intoxicated. So like this, there's full satisfaction in Krishna consciousness. Not that we renounce the senses. And by renouncing the senses, we're just left with nothing. Hankering is there. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the embodied soul, by restricting his sense gratification, although the taste for sense gratification remains, by experiencing the higher taste of Parnam Drishna Nivarantante, the higher taste of devotional service, he remains fixed in his determination. So if we always have these wonderful Mongol sweets, and these wonderful kirtans and beautiful deities, there's no problem with renunciation. We have to practice renunciation, as Srila Gaura Goswami, Babaji Maharaj has shown us, but we don't have to imitate such a great soul. Our giving up our sense gratification means eating Mongol sweets. Giving up our sense gratification means hearing kirtan, seeing the beautiful form of the deity, smelling the beautiful incense that is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So he taught us the principle of renunciation. And when we renounce in Krishna consciousness, what are we renouncing? Both gross and subtle sense gratification. Because we have to give up both these bodies. When renouncing, we want to renounce the bodily concept of life. So what is the gross body? Well, there it is. What is the subtle body? The mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. So all material desires pertaining to the gross and subtle body. What are those desires specifically? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has informed us. The obstacles for the Vaishnava transcendentalists, it's made very clear. It's like when we travel in Russia, we just came back from, well, yesterday we were in Siberia. That's why if we fall asleep, you just prop us back up and give us a little slap and we'll keep speaking. We were in Siberia yesterday, we flew, because we were flying practically till we got here this afternoon. But in that part of the world, there's no signposts anywhere. There's no lines on the road. When you're driving down the road, you know, 90% of it is guesswork. And you can imagine, there's no lights on the road, there's no white lines on the roads. I was saying the other day in the car, we're driving 120 kilometers an hour to make it to the airport. It looks like we're driving in darkness. The lights are real dim on those old Russian lotted cars, and there's no street lights, there's no indication where the airport is. You're a great chance. You don't know, well, wait a minute, look out, what? You're driving like this. So here in your country, there's so many, every 5 meters, don't turn left, turn right, just, I couldn't even figure all of them out. There's so many, it's very clear. If you want to get someplace, you're reminded 1,000 times before you get there. M25, and then you've got this one, you've got that one. So it's important, if we want to get to our destination, to have the proper signs, directions to get there. So we have to overcome these material desires. We have to overcome our desires for sense gratification. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it very clear what they are. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahaite kitvai. The Shikshastakam prayers are very important. Shikshastakam prayers actually take us from the beginning of devotional service to the most exalted stage. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. He shall always remain such, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's always my worshipable Lord unconditionally. This is the mood of the gopis. But it begins very simply. O glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the contamination from so many lifetimes together. Let there be all victory by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the beginning, the third verse, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavicham vadakshukamaye mama janmani janmani. My Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, neither do I want to enjoy the opposite sex, neither do I want name or fame, reputation. All that I want is I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So, three items are mentioned. the attraction for wealth, the opposite sex, and then the subtle desire for fame and recognition. This is not easy to give this up, false ego. Many transcendentalists have renounced money and women, but they're very attached to their fame, and they want to be recognized as a great sadhu. So this is the subtle attraction to the material energy that has to be given up. So Gorkhasharadas Babaji Maharaj, he exemplified this also. In his personal habits, he was extremely renounced, but also he was known that he didn't want any respect. He didn't want to be known as a great devotee. In fact, you see this picture of him right here, how he's bending over? The artist has depicted it a little bit different than it was. This is the only photo of Gorkhasharadas Babaji Maharaj ever taken. But the reason he's bent over is because he's living under a boat down by the river where people pass stool and urine. That's where he went to do his bhajan. Why? Is he mad? Chanting his japa down by the... that? Because in India, people answer the call of nature in the field down by the river. So why has he gone there to chant his, to do his bhajan? Because he knows that he won't be disturbed by people who are coming to glorify him or ask him for some material mundane benediction. He's known as a great sadhu even then, because sometimes he could not control his devotion. Like Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. So as not to be worshipped by the mundane persons or the public in general, an advanced devotee does not manifest his ecstatic symptoms of love of God, which come in the form of tears, faltering of the voice, hair standing on end, falling on the ground unconscious. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Devotee doesn't manifest these symptoms. A pure devotee doesn't manifest, because then the people will worship him not for the right reason. They'll worship him because, you know, they expect some benediction. They won't just listen to the knowledge which he is trying to give. So, just like Prabhupada's eyes are always filled with tears. This is something that we notice even in the beginning years. How Prabhupada's eyes were always just like, you hear that in the Shastras, the eyes brimming full of tears. The Prabhupada was like that. Sometimes he couldn't control it. One time in Paris, Prabhupada came, and the year after he installed Sri Sri Radha Parasishvara, he had a special affection for those deities as well. When we sent him the photos of the installation ceremony, he remarked, he wrote back, you see, Krishna's looking directly at me. Prabhupada was doing the arti. This is what he saw in the photograph. So he came back the next year, and then he did his, he had darshan of the deities, and he went to the Vyasasan, and he sat down. Dayaradha Madhava Kunja Bihadi Gopi. And Prabhupada, I was sitting right where Prahlad was. Prabhupada, Gopi. And Prabhupada just stopped, and his hand started to shake like this, and then tears were just coming out, dripping off his cheeks like this. I went, wow. Then after a long time, Prabhupada opened his eyes. He said, Jai Hare Krishna. And he went upstairs. What could he explain to us who are still anchored in the material world of sense gratification? How are we going to understand these ecstatic symptoms of love of God? Adoshvadha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya nartani riti siyat Nishta, Ruchi, Bhav, Prem. These are the different steps. Where are we? Adoshvadha. We still have to be convinced we're not this body. We should, you know, we shouldn't get intoxicated. We should. And here's Prabhupada, Prem Bhakti. But sometimes he couldn't control it. My cup runneth over with love. Also Mayapur I saw one time. Prabhupada was speaking to all his disciples, all those who had assembled on the Gaur Purnim day. He was so proud to have so many disciples from all over the world coming to get his association and chant and dance in great ecstasy, Nitai Gauranga and Mayapur Dham, 73 or something. And he was giving a lecture about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's just speaking about Lord Gauranga, and the same thing happened. Hare Krishna. Long time that was. And he came out of trance. Chant Hare Krishna. Like that. So these great devotees sometimes exhibit these symptoms. So so it's not to be misunderstood. Gorgashwar Das Babaji used to hide himself. He didn't want to be revered for a great devotee because he just couldn't control these emotions sometimes. So he used to hide. And this picture was actually, it was a photograph originally. It was taken under a boat. He was like this. The boat just came over. The boat was half turned over. He was just chanting like that. So if you wanted to come get his darshan, you had to really be determined. No materialistic person would do the austerity of going there. The Vaishnavas would go out and, Babaji Maharaj, tell us something about Krishna. You had to sit there like this. He would freeze. So he didn't want any fame or any recognition. He could immediately point out the false motivations in others. So many so-called Babajis would come to Vrindavan when he was in Vrindavan or when he was in Navadvip, and he could immediately one time he was he was giving a darshan. And then he started to lead a kirtan. And some gentleman came to the kirtan, and then he began to roll on the ground, crying, "Oh, Radhe, Radhe." Gorkashwar Das Babaji stopped him. He said, "You rascal, get out of here." So some of the people present were very surprised. Babaji Maharaj, you can see he is in ecstasy. So he said, one who's actually advanced in Krishna consciousness will not display openly such symptoms in public if he can help it. This man has made a public demonstration. He said, just as a chaste wife becomes very embarrassed when she has to show any part of her body to others except her husband, therefore she keeps her body thoroughly covered at all times. She doesn't want to show her body to anyone but her husband. So he said, one who has this ecstatic symptom of love of God, he doesn't want to show it to others. That is the characteristic. One characteristic you can know. Another way you can know, one time someone came to the New York temple and did the same thing. And the devotees wrote Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this lady coming." It was a man, I think. "A man is coming every day. He's crying in kirtan. How do we know if the symptoms are real or not?" So Prabhupada said, "Give him a good kick in the side. And if he doesn't do anything, you know he's in ecstasy." Prabhupada took the chance because he knew that such things are very rare. So whenever another sign of his renunciation that he didn't want fame or glorification was that it was very difficult to find an opportunity to serve him because he refused service from anyone. He considered himself to be the servant of everyone else. This is the another symptom of Uttama Adhikar. He sees everyone else engaged in Krishna's service but himself. He feels himself very fallen and lowly, but he sees so many other spirit souls are Krishna's devotee. So such a person will not accept service unless he's ultimately obliged to for the benefit of the servitor. So eventually he lost his eyesight. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was his follower, his disciple, requested him to go to Calcutta for proper treatment because his eyesight was going quicker and quicker and quicker. But he said, "I will never go to the material universe," meaning Calcutta. "I'll never go to the material universe." So he was so afraid that, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Well, no, but Bhimo Prasad," meaning Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he'll personally take you there." He said, "I will have to accept service? Never." He said, "I'd rather drown myself in the Ganges." And he ran towards the Ganges so fast that no one could keep up with him. And he disappeared. And everyone in the community thought, "Oh, Babaji Maharaj has given up his life." He came back 45 days later. He said, "I cannot give this body up. This body belongs to my Lord, Krishna." He said, "But still I will not accept any service. Don't bother me with this." Eventually he went completely blind. And one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was always trying to look after him, but it was very hard to render him any service, but he would try his best. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was waiting for his Guru Maharaj at the Yogapith temple. Yogapith means the place where Lord Chaitanya actually appeared. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had built a beautiful temple there. And he was supposed to meet his Guru Maharaj about 6 o'clock, but he didn't come. And he waited and waited and waited, and he knew that his Guru Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj, was over in Navadvip, but the boat stopped at 10 o'clock at night. So he said, "Oh, my Guru Maharaj, now he won't be able to come from Navadvip and cross the river and come here. So what will I do? How will I find him? Where is he? Obviously he's on the other side of the river. How he can cross now?" At 2 o'clock in the morning, Gokushodas Babaji Maharaj arrived there. Totally blind, he walked into the temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, "Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, how did you come here? How did you cross the river at the middle of the night?" He said, "Oh, one boy helped me." "One boy has helped you?" "Yes, he helped me across the river." "But Guru Maharaj, there's no boats. No sane grown man would try to cross the river flowing so swiftly at night." He said, "Well, who was this boy?" "Ah, he had very soft hands. He was very sweet." "Guru Maharaj, who was this boy who was taking you across the river?" And all he would do was smile. "Ah, he's so nice, this little boy." So he said, "Guru Maharaj, is it Krishna?" And Gorgashodas Babaji started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And then he goes laughing, laughing, laughing. He rolled on the ground laughing and laughing and laughing. Laughing and laughing and laughing. So in this way, later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was writing his memoirs, and he wrote that he came to the conclusion that night that Krishna had personally helped his Guru Maharaj across the river, through the forest, all the way to the Yogapith temple. Although he wouldn't want to say something like that. So One time, Gokushodas Babaji, he was walking around Navadvip, and he would always chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama." And many times the young children, not understanding what an exalted soul he was, they would throw rocks at him to disturb him. So whenever they would throw rocks at him, he would say, "Krishna, you stop this immediately, otherwise I'm going to tell Mother Yasoda." So he was so Krishna conscious that he took everything that happened to him, he was taking that it was Krishna's mercy. If some happiness came his way, he said some opportunity came his way for some service, or someone gave him some money or something, he would immediately employ it in the Lord's service. He wouldn't take it for himself. He had the same items as a Babaji for 30 years, the same loincloth for 30 years. Someone gave him money, he wouldn't use it. And if some misfortune came his way, he was thinking, "Oh, Krishna is trying to teach me something. He's showing me dukkhalayama shashvatam, the miseries of this world." He didn't hanker for sense gratification. He didn't lament when there was misery. We should also learn this lesson. That when some sense opportunity for sense gratification comes our way, we're not tempted. We use whatever it is in Krishna's service. And if some tragedy happens to us, we think the Lord is trying to teach me a lesson, how to be detached from this world, how to be more attached to his lotus feet. So when the children threw rocks, he was thinking, "Now Krishna, you have to stop this. I'm going to tell Mother Yasoda." Everything reminded him of Krishna. One time he received a 100 rupees donation, and he gave it to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he said, "Put this in the bank." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Babaji, you put this in the bank? This is unlike you. Put it in the bank." So he opened up a bank account for Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, and he had the money there for several years. And then one day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was traveling somewhere, and there were some Vaishnavas who had come from Vrindavan. So Gokashardas Babaji, he went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, I gave to your father 100 rupees. I want that rupees now. Well, Guru Maharaj, that money is in the bank account. I can't get it. You get it now! So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to borrow the rupees from somebody else, and he gave it to his spiritual master, Gokashardas Babaji Maharaj, and he immediately gave it to those Vaishnavas who were going to Vrindavan. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, Guru Maharaj, we kept this money for so long, and you wanted to give it to these Vaishnavas going to Vrindavan. Why? So Gokashardas Babaji Maharaj, he said, many persons think I'm a Vaishnava, and therefore they have given me this money. But actually, I'm not a Vaishnava. But I have heard that there are actually real Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. Therefore, I am sending this money for their service. I'm not a Vaishnava. I've heard in Vrindavan there's real Vaishnavas. I'm giving this money to these Brajabasis. They can, you know, have some feasts for the Vrindavan Babajis. So it was hard to get, he was a very exalted personality, very hard to get his darshan. When he moved from the boat, because after a while people, whatever they could had to do, they used to come to see him there. So he moved deep into the forest. And it was very hard to see him deep into the forest. You had to walk a long way. And one day, one of his disciples walked this long distance, not a disciple, because he only had one disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One of his followers walked deep into the forest, got some instructions from him. And it was getting twilight, so he was hurrying back to get home in time. And just at the dusk, it was neither day nor night, he came across a large festival in the forest. He said, what is this? Strange. What is today? This is not any special day. Guru Maharaj didn't. Gokashardas Babaji didn't tell me there's some special festival today. There's so many people here chanting and singing and eating. So he walked by and he said, oh, what is this? And they said, come join us. He said, no, Guru Maharaj said, I have to take rest early. Get up and chant my japa in the morning. No, come join us. So he walked over and he said, there was something funny about the whole thing. So they said, at least take some prasadam with us. He thought, I cannot be sure this prasadam is an offer to Krishna. So they said, okay, we'll pack some prasadam for you, and you can take it tomorrow morning. He said, all right. You know, they have those little baskets with the leaf plates, and they put it all together like that. Big prasadam. And they, oh, thank you very much. And he took that prasad, and he went home. And he lay down, and he went to rest, thinking, when I get up in the morning, I'll eat that prasad. I wonder what it is, laddus, maybe samosa, kichori, rasamalai. We will see in a few minutes what the real prasad is here. But then he woke up in the morning, and that prasad. And he ran to the room where he kept it, and he opened it up. Ah, stool and urine. What is this? What kind of gift they have given me? They said it was prasadam, it's stool and urine. He threw it into the proper place. That day he went back to see Gokashardas Babaji Maharaj. He said, Guru Maharaj, you know, after I had darshan with you yesterday, I walked quickly back because I didn't want to get back when it was dark. And just at twilight, it came a big party these people were having, and they offered me some prasad. But you know, when I got home, next morning, opened the prasad, it was stool and urine. And Babaji Maharaj laughing. Whoa! So his students said, why are you laughing? What is so funny? And he said, this is simply a party of ghosts. And they have created some illusion. They have tricked you. It's a good thing you did not stay there very long. I'm very proud of you. Some ghosts. So like this, through his renunciation, he taught us how to be good devotees, so we ourselves can be fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and how we can help others become advanced in Krishna consciousness. But it's not that he didn't try to preach. Several times he tried to preach. In fact, one time he came out from under the boat in his old torn loincloth, and he went to Navadvip, and he got himself a Shantipur dhoti. Shantipur dhotis, the white dhoti, Sometimes you see the householder men, they want the dhoti with the big wide stripe. Right? They're not just satisfied to have that little, that's this one little stripe like we see here. This is the renounced one. They're not happy with that, right? Well, I don't want to. Well, we're getting. That's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Disgusting.
But sometimes you see it's got here, and it's got a little gold here, some green, like that. It's like, you wonder if maybe it's a sari. One of those saris, the border saris, you know? He got one of those. He bought, what's happening? Gorkha's just Babaji. People, what's happening? Babaji Maharaj is wearing dhoti. And he got little perfume, like that. And you know how sometimes the boys tie their sikkim in a braid. So cute, right? Like that. And, he looked just like Bengali gentleman. Little chatter over the top like this. And he spoke with very nice accents. And he went to the marketplace, and he was thinking, why was he doing this? Was it some type of deviation? No, he was thinking that if he'd gone in his torn loincloth, that the gentleman would not listen. He wanted to attract the elite, scholarly, gentleman people of Navadvip. So he put on these fancy clothes, because he thought, now they will listen to me. So he stood on the corner of the street, and Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya. Began preaching Bhagavad Gita. No one stopped. Then he's preaching more. Sarva dharma paricha jam amekam sananam vraja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha. So, and nobody stopped. The whole day he spent in Navadvip trying to preach. Not one gentleman, nobody stopped. So what he did is he went back, he took off the dhoti, threw it on the road, put back his own torn quilt, and went back under the boat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Nam Nam, Hare Hare. He tried, but no one was very interested. But we can still consider that Gorkhashwar Das Babaji Maharaj is one of the greatest preachers that has ever appeared in our disciplic succession. Not only for his example being higher than precept, but who was his only disciple? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known as Nrisingha Guru. He was such a powerful preacher that when he would come to town, all the false logicians, the Mayavadi sannyasis, the gyanis, the yogis, they would all run from the lion guru has come. Because he would not tolerate any statement which was against pure devotional service. No karma kanda, upana kanda, none of all this mystic yoga, gyan, anything that was a compromise on perfection in spiritual life, a compromise on pure devotional service, he wouldn't tolerate. He wouldn't just be part of the crowd. He just couldn't stand it. He just had to speak up. Just, you are nonsense. I'm going to tell you why you're nonsense. He would preach. People would always be embarrassed. He was never defeated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was never defeated. Never once. From where is the disciple getting his tejas, his shakti, to preach, to convince people about the actual nature of this world and the reality of the spiritual world? From where does he get his knowledge? As guru. Yasha Prashad Bhagavat Prashado Yasha Prashad Nagati Gutopi. It is also stated that one who has full faith in the instructions of the spiritual master in Krishna, the full purport of Vedic knowledge is revealed. So just like our Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, whenever he would be glorified by his disciples, oh, Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, you've done so much to spread the Sankirtan movement. What would he say? He'd bow his head, like you see the picture here. This is very nice. There's another picture Prabhupada's looking. In this picture, he's bowing his head. So this is showing Prabhupada's extreme humility. Whenever he would be glorified, he'd, what have I done? It's all my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He has given. It is by His grace the Sankirtan movement is spreading all over the world. So they're all like that. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also considered that whatever success he had in Krishna consciousness was the mercy of his predecessor acharyas, especially his Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishoras Babaji Maharaj. There's a famous debate. There was an intense battle going on, a philosophical debate going on between the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. The Brahmins would not accept that someone could become so elevated, Vaishnavas considered more advanced than the Brahmana, because the Vaishnava is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Many times the Brahmins themselves are impersonalists. So there was an intense debate between the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, and it culminated one day in a huge program with so many Vaishnavas and so many Brahmanas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to give the lecture, but he fell ill that day with a very high fever. He couldn't go give the lecture. But it was such an important debate. It was like one of those, like we had it in Jaipur with Baladev Vidyabhusana and the Ramanujis, you know, to establish the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition as something authentic. If we win, that's it for eternity. If we lose, forget it. Such an important, that's why Prabhupada dedicated Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhusana. He dedicates his Bhagavad Gita to him because he won the debate. What's the place called? Yeah. He won the debate there and established the Gaudiya Vaishnava as an authentic spiritual tradition, just like we're trying to do now. Well, not here, you have it, but in other parts of the world we don't have. 3 days ago in Russia, the Russian government finally agreed, yes, Krishna consciousness, the Hare Krishna movement is a bona fide religion. No. So we had a fight for many years, many setbacks, but they finally said, all right, we accept, you're a bona fide religion. So many of these famous, these are landmark decisions in the history of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to represent the Vaishnavas so that they wouldn't be defeated and ridiculed from there on by the Brahmanas. But he got sick. So he called his son. He said, Bhimo Prasad, because that was his name. Bhimo Prasad, you must go and you must defeat these caste-conscious Brahmanas. Yes, father. So he went. He was a young man, maybe just in his teens at that time. And these were all old scholars, big beards, wrinkled faces, quoting Tadvamasmi, all these different. He went as a young teenage boy. He went up and he gave such an elegant speech. Now, usually these debates, there's 20 minutes of debating and then there's hours of, you know, there's 20 minutes you give your talk and then there's, you know, hours going back and forth and quoting, and he spoke for 20 minutes. He said, are there any questions or refutals? No one spoke. There were hundreds of Brahmanas there. No one even dared speak up. He, young man, first time he actually came forward and spoke in public like that. The Brahmins just walked out. They put their heads down and walked out one by one out of the... It's a famous lecture. Actually, they printed that lecture and distributed it all over India. And then the Vaishnavas, Raja Bhimo Prasad ki, all glories to the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, like this huge, and they, you know, like, just came in and they just mobbed him. Like when the Yankees won the World Series a few weeks ago in America. A very mundane example, but. Just to give you an idea, sometimes you have to use an analogy. It means to take something material and try to show what something spiritual is. So, like that. And then they said, how did you do it? It was so elegant. He went like this. He is the reason I have done anything. And everyone looked up in the back. In the very back of the hall, in a dark corner, crouched down on the ground with his japa beads, was Gaur Kishoras Babaji Maharaj. He was just big grin on his face. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He'd left the boat. He'd heard that Bhimo Prasad was going to give this lecture. He never came to the city. He was in the back of the hall. So the whole time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was preaching his powerful, famous lecture, he was considering that all the mercy was coming from his Guru Maharaj, like that. So who will ever say that Gaur Kishoras Babaji is not a preacher? He inspired one of the greatest preachers that the Vaishnava world has ever seen, who in turn inspired our own Śrīla Prabhupāda to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So he's such a great personality, Gaurakishore-das Babaji Maharaj. Yesterday was his disappearance, and today we're observing his feast. I know everyone's a little hungry, but I will just finish with his disappearance pastime because it's also very interesting. He was so detached that he said, "When I leave this body, it's fit for being pulled to the streets by mules." He was just thinking like that. Humble, this body, just fit for the mules. So that day came on Ekadasi, and he gave up his manifest pastimes and went back to the spiritual world. And at that time, his only disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was on the other side of the river. And he received the news that his Guru Maharaj had left. He fainted, unconscious. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Guru Maharaj has left. But when he came to consciousness, he thought, "I must go and I must take the divine form of my Guru Maharaj and place him in samadhi." By the time he arrived at the other side of the river and beheld the divine effulgent form of Gaurakishore-das Babaji Maharaj lying there, samadhi, you might say, there were so many, you know, important, so-called important, you know, personalities, sadhus there. And what were they doing? They were fighting. Who would take the body and place it in wherever? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he knew that their mundane mentality, that if they got the body of Gaurakishore-das Babaji Maharaj and made a samadhi, then people would come and they would get lots of money. They would charge for the darshan of the samadhi. He knew their low-grade mentality. So he came forward and he said, "This is my spiritual master. I will take the body. None of you will take." And they were considered, quote-unquote, more important than him at this time, their status. They said, "You are not a sannyasi. We are sannyasis and we will..." And he said, "I am not a sannyasi. I've been a strict celibate my entire life. And none of you will take the divine form of my spiritual master." So there was a very tense moment like that. Then he stepped forward, self-effulgent acharya, and he said, "If anyone here, any of these so-called sadhus and important personalities, has not had illicit sexual connections within 1 year, let him take the body." And no one stepped forward. "If any of you have not had illicit sexual connections in 6 months, you can take the body. In 1 month, or within the last 3 days, or the last night, if you have not had an illicit sexual connection with a woman, you can take the body." And they all put their heads down, just like before, and they walked out one by one. He was the only one left there. And then the last man turned around and said, "Well, what about dragging his body to the street with mules?" My Guru Maharaj was the emblem of all humility. He simply wanted to instruct us about the uselessness of this body. But let us understand that being exalted Mahabhagavata that he was, that his body is none different than the spiritual energy of the Lord. Because he was a pure devotee, his body is completely spiritual. And he picked the body up and put it on his head. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Usually, you know, we take. He put the divine, just like the pastime for the Vaishnavas reminded him of the passing of Haridas Thakur. The passing of Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya picked up the divine form himself, showing out the divine form of the devotee. He began to dance in ecstasy, this huge kirtan. Then he personally placed the body in samadhi himself. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, rather than, you know, following the suggestions of these rascals, he put the body on his head and he walked several kilometers to a place that he had thought best, and with his own hands he dug the ground and he placed the divine form of his spiritual master in there, and later he built the samadhi all by himself. So you can say days like this are sweet and sour. How can something be sweet and sour and relishable at the same time? Well, that may not be true in the material world, but in the spiritual world, there are different tastes like that which accent each other and give special flavor, different mellows of devotional service, which may appear to be contradictory. But even in ISKCON, we have our sweet and sour subject, right? We have our, there's the curd in there, and then there's the pineapple, and it's, you know, the different mixtures, and it's one of ISKCON's favorites, the sweet and sour subject. So how are we to reconcile a day like this, the departure day of a great Vaishnava? We are having a feast? We're celebrating? What is this celebration? You may know that in most Catholic countries today, they are going to the cemetery and they are weeping. In Poland, there was a traffic jam at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, because this is the day they all go to the cemeteries, and they, in ignorance, they think that grandma's still sleeping and she wakes up, you know, for that one day, and they talk to her, and, you know, a pagan festival. So how is it that on the same day we are celebrating the departure of such an exalted personality? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has instructed us. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavs die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. Actually, the great personality, Srila Gorkhasrodas Babaji Maharaj, he's just as accessible now as he was when he was present on this planet for those who are sincere in getting his blessings. One time Prabhupada said to us, how you can approach my Guru Maharaj? He's such an exalted person. But on his appearance day or his disappearance day, I give my blessings, you can personally pray to him. So let us take advantage of this auspicious occasion, the day we are cooking and honoring the feast for Srila Gorkhasrodas Babaji Maharaj, to pray for his blessings, that we can get one drop of his mercy, one drop of his spirit of renunciation, so that we can be successful in our own Krishna consciousness and be detached so that we can become successful preachers, and that hopefully one day by his grace and the combined grace of all the acharyas, we also will develop that vipralamba seva for which he was so famous for, that intense love for Shishi Radha and Krishna. Srila Gorkhasrodas Babaji Maharaj ki, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Golok Premdan Harinam Sen Kirtan Yagya Ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki, Worldwide ISKCON Ki, Shishi Bhagavat Prasadam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.